I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And this week is a first on the Dr. Bill show. I'm shocked. I actually know the name of the show before we do the show. Most of the time I do the show and then say, okay, now what are we going to call it? And it always has to be the something or another edition. One of these days I should have the something or another edition as the name. And everybody will go to, what? But anyway. No, but this is the Securify edition. Yes. Because it's an all security edition. We're going to be talking about computer security from various angles. Anyway, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We're also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Yes, indeedy. So there's been so many things coming out this week about security issues. Security of one form or another. Our first item is that the TrueCrypt project shut down. They shut their doors and said, we're done, we're going home. And why, you might ask? Well, sometimes open source developers just call it quits, you know what I'm saying? And that's a problem in the case of some projects, because while the code may be perfectly fine, if there's an issue with security and there's nobody left to patch it, that's kind of a big deal. And if it's security software in the first place, it can be a really big deal. And so that is the case with TrueCrypt. The article here in eWeek by Sean Michael Kerner says, sometimes when difficulties rise in an open source project, the effort is forked. But in other cases, projects just shut down. For the open source TrueCrypt disk encryption project, the latter is now true as the project is shutting down and users are being warned that the technology is no longer secure. Now, it's no longer secure because it's no longer being patched. You know, as they find let's put it this way. As the users may find vulnerabilities, there's nobody really to report it to anymore. Okay? You know, it's not like they're actually actively out there searching for vulnerabilities anymore because they shut the sucker down. But anyway, so that's a bit of an issue. And there are a lot of other encryption projects out there. So you can look at the long list. As a matter of fact, if you go to Wikipedia and look at the list of disk encryption projects, both paid and open source, you'll find a long list. But TrueCrypt was up there as one of the more popular, so it will be missed, I'm sure. A lot of people are going, dude! But anyway. Now, on the idea of encryption as a security thing, Google has decided to make it easier, simpler, to encrypt your email. Now, of course, they would love for you to just use Gmail, okay? But they're making it somewhat easier to do with other forms of mail. But obviously, Gmail is their primary concern. So, the Google Online Security blog says, your security online has always been a top priority for us, speaking as Google, and we're constantly working to make sure your data is safe. For example, Gmail supported HTTPS, which is, of course, the Hypertext Transport Protocol, S for secure. It's secured with Secure Socket Layer technology, SSL. And they supported SSL technology when it was first launched, and now always uses an encrypted connection when you check or send mail in your browser. We warn people in Gmail and Chrome when we have reason to believe they're being targeted by bad actors. I was a scientist before I became a bad actor. I know, a little bit of closet cases of the nerd kind thrown in there. Ha ha. But, I always think of that when I hear the term bad actor. We also alert you to malware and phishing when we find it. Today, we're adding to that list the alpha version. It's an alpha version, not a beta. So, warning, Will Robinson. Okay? But at any rate, it's an alpha version of a new tool. It's called End-to-End, and it's a Chrome extension intended for users who need additional security beyond what we already provide. End-to-end encryption means data leaving your browser will be encrypted until the message's intending recipient decrypts it, and that similarly encrypted messages sent to you will remain that way until you decrypt them in your browser. While end-to-end encryption tools like PGP and UGPG have been around for a long time, they require a great deal of technical know-how and manual effort to use. To help make this kind of encryption a bit easier, we're releasing code for a new Chrome extension that uses OpenPGP, and open standard supported by many existing encryption tools. The moral of the story is, don't try to do a show on a Sunday afternoon after you had a big lunch. Okay, whoa. Anyway, however, you won't find the end-to-end extension in the Chrome Web Store quite yet. It is, after all, alpha. We're just sharing the code today so the community can test it and evaluate it, helping us make sure it's as secure as it needs to be before people start relying on it. And we mean it. Our vulnerability reward program offers financial rewards for finding security bugs in Google code, including end-to-end. So, a challenge for you. That's French for challenge. Actually, I don't know what French for challenge is. I just make it up. But you can get their alpha code, and you can test it. And if you can find a problem, then they will pay you real money for said finding of a problem. How cool is that? So Google also has another free service. This is the next item, by the way. Google Streaming Quality Test. There was a point this week, admittedly in a situation at work where I needed to view a YouTube video for work purposes. Those of you thinking that I'm just sitting there watching YouTube videos, this was a video on Citrix and new features and things like that. And it stopped and it sputtered and it didn't do very well. And I thought, poof, why can't there be a way so I can tell if the network's up to snuff? The term up to snuff is annoying, actually, when you think about it. If you ever see anybody actually use snuff, it's disgusting. Anyway, I don't know where that came from, up to snuff. But anyway, so lo and behold, Google popped up and said, "Hi there, we have a way to test your streaming quality." And I went, "Really?" And they said, "Yes, we do." Actually, they didn't, but, you know, just going with the flow, you know? So they have this Google streaming quality test. If you click on the link in the blog, which of course is drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen, you can click on this link and you can test your bandwidth streaming quality wherever you might be. How cool is that? So a free test of your quality. I like it. Oh! Wow. That nearly knocked my head off, Fred. Yeah, I can tell you're all broken up about it. Anyway, that, of course, is the Geek Software of the Week. Drum roll, the Geek Software of the Week this week is, in the theme that we have for the show, a security software utility thing. And it's called Yak. I kid you not. YAC Yak, not K, C, because it stands for Yet Another Cleaner. However, they're selling themselves just a bit short with that. It's not just a disc cleaner, although it is that. It does a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. And it is written by some folks in, I think it's Mexico. Let me look. Yeah, the extension ends in .mx. So I think it's Mexico. They claim it is the world's fastest and lightest PC cleaner. And it will also clean malware, adware, and pushy software that tries to change your browser settings, all of which are security issues. I think my hat may be just a little too far down on my face. It's shading my eyes. Anyway, so it's called Yak, Yet Another Cleaner. It has browser tracking protection. It discovers all kinds of trackers and provides complete transparency and control of tracker issues. Clears your browser history to protect your privacy. Blocks malicious plugins. Enable to block tracking activity that you do not trust and allow the ones that you do. Although I don't know of anybody that I trust to track software. My hat is being frustrating. Just bear with me. Yak's boosting ball. They call it that because it's a ball on the screen, like this screenshot here. Boosting ball. Anyway, is a registry cleaner and PC speed optimizer. This product is a must-have for PC users. It removes junk files. It updates your PC's drivers. It prevents crashes and freezes and keeps your PC fast and stable. It's a free tool that detects errors which impact your PC's performance. And it cleans malware. It will detect or remove specific malware from your PC. It will kill all infected running processes and delete all infections from the disk. It is a handy and efficient malware removal tool for Windows users. It is indeed for Windows. I installed it on my home PC, my own personal PC, and I ran all the various optimizations, and I was really quite impressed. And it has one of those tray icon thingies, and it has a little widget that goes up on your screen in Windows 7 that shows how much CPU is being used in your network, bandwidth, and various other things. It's actually very nice, and it's free, 100% free, very nice little piece of software. And it really is pretty light. It's light in appearance, in the interface, and also in the fact that it doesn't really weigh down your PC with a lot of various processes and things. So I was really pretty impressed with it. So try out Yak. Yakety Yak. Yet Another Cleaner. But, you know, I think they're being a bit modest with just Yet Another Cleaner. I think it's actually very cool. So, yak away. Okay? Now, the Inglés, as I said, it was written in Mexico. So there are points that the Inglés is just a little bit loco. You know what I'm saying? But that's okay. It's not that bad. But, you know, if they had some more English-speaking folk to look it over, I think that might help them a bit. So, if you hablo inglés, help them out a bit. It's an open source project, okay? So, there you go. All right, next item. A New Hampshire town is being held for ransom by ransomware. Which actually makes sense that it's ransomware and they're holding the town for ransom. How does that work, you might ask? Well, the town computers, meaning the city computers that work the business of the city and so forth, have been infected with this ransomware, and they get messages that say, pay us money or we will not release your data. And they want to have $300 paid in bitcoins. Which, you know, bitcoins are anonymous. So, interesting way of being paid there. But the town says, no, we'll never get it in. It says, we will be paying no ransom, vows the town hit by the crypto wall ransom malware. So the article was in Ars Technica by Dan Gooden. And he says in that article, the town manager of a hamlet in southeastern New Hampshire has defied demands that he pay a ransom to recover police department computer files taken hostage by CryptoWall, a newer piece of malware that encrypts hard drive contents of infected machines until victims pay for them to be decrypted. Whoa. Make no mistake, the town of Durham, New Hampshire, that is, not Durham, North Carolina, just making sure you understand that, was quoted by saying to CBS Boston News, police department computers for the town of almost 15,000 residents were reportedly infected Thursday after an officer opened what appeared to be a legitimate file attachment to an email. I told you before, don't open attachments. You say, but Dr. Bill, this guy sent me an attachment. It's a legitimate attachment. I don't care. Don't send attachments. Don't read attachments. Don't open attachments. Well, how am I supposed to send stuff? Send the link. Send a link to Dropbox. Do something. But email attachments are just too easy to infect and be carriers of evil things. So just don't do it. I just don't open attachments. You know, you send me an attachment, I'm just going to go delete. I'm done. Yeah, but it was important. Well, then send me a, you know, priority mail package. Anyway, so he thought it was a legitimate file attachment and email. He opened it and boom. By Friday morning, widespread issues were hitting the department computer network. It was shut down by noon that day to prevent the infection from spreading to other systems. Because that's the thing. Not only infects the system where the guy clicked it, but then it hops on the network and goes bing, 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 all over the network, spreading its evil throughout the local area network. Yee. So their message pops up that says, you're infected. If you want to see your data again, pay us $300 in bitcoins. Ransomware comes of age with unbreakable crypto and anonymous payments. The department was reportedly hit by CryptoWall, a newer form of crypto malware that rivals the better-known CryptoLocker. According to a blog post published this past Thursday, by researchers from Cisco Systems, CryptoWall has been gaining ground since April when it was folded into the RIG Rig Exploit Kit, which is software sold in underground forums, the underground black internet. Yeah. Anyway, it's sold there, and it automates computer scams and malware attacks for the less technically knowledgeable criminal. So the criminals just buy the software and then they can do it even though they don't know what they're doing. Dude, cut out the middleman. Cisco's cloud web security service has been blocking requests tied to more than 90 infected internet domains, pushing CryptoWall scams to more than 17% of service customers. Whoa. So, folks, you gotta be safe out there on the interwebs. Don't click attachments. Don't open yourself up to attacks. And, you know, don't go to website. If Google pops up and says, you don't want to go to this website, don't go there. Don't override anything. You know? Dude. And use software like Yak that has malware capturing capabilities. Things like that. You gotta be safe out there. It's evil. It's evil out there on the interwebs. I'm telling you. It's like the Wild Wild West. And I don't mean the one with Jim West and Artemis Gordon and the cool train. That was a cool Wild Wild West. Or, you know, there was a later version where they had a movie, The Wild Wild West. Anyway, I watched that movie. It was fun. But it wasn't the old original Wild Wild West TV show. I liked that show. That was cool. You know, what was the guy's name? Something Conrad. Remember his last name was Conrad. I don't remember his first name. That's a shame. Yeesh. Anyway. There it... Yeah. Robert Conrad. My wife says, and she knows these things. So wild, Wild West. I'm actually going to look it up because I know it's she's right. It's Robert Conrad. But there's even an official website for the Warner Brothers movie. What? Featuring Will Smith and Kevin Kline. They still have a website for the movie out there. It's an old movie. It came out. When did it come out? It was like 1999. Welcome to the Wild Wild West website. Legal and privacy. Boy, they've got all kinds of stuff you have to go through just to read the website. It was released in 1999. That's like before the turn of the century. Which is weird to think about if you think about that too hard. 1999, turn of the century. Anyway, but I'm talking about the Wild Wild West TV show from 1965 to 1969. Yes, with Robert Conrad and Ross Martin and so forth. It had four seasons. It was awesome. Really liked that show. I should look it up on like Netflix and watch some of those episodes again. Particularly Dr. Lovelace. That was just cool. Anyway, boy, have I ever digressed. I get nostalgic, you know? And I look at stuff like this and go, wow, this is cool. And then I get all off on a tangent. Which most people say that's what I'm on most of the time is a tangent. So, anyway, so look it up. It may actually be on Netflix. Let's see. You say, you know, I really don't care whether it's on Netflix or not. Well, you know, yes, it's on Amazon, and, that looks like it's it. I don't think they have it on Netflix, but it is on Amazon, so you can get it from there, should you want to. And watch the movie. The movie's okay. You know, I like Will Smith. He's cool. I really liked him in Independence Day. Dude. Which, by the way, Independence Day is going to have a Independence Day 2. Like, years after the movie, they're finally going to do a 2. How weird is that? Anyway, I've digressed about as far as I can for one show. So we'll leave it right here. Remember until next time that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.